Final comments from Vince.
We have two trials where we have a feel for the power of what erlotinib does in the never smokers, which is a surrogate perhaps for mutation group or maybe encompasses some other things. We have the BR21 never smokers where the median survival, they did a little bit better with placebo. And we know never smokers in general do a little bit better. But in the never smokers who got erlotinib in a second line setting, they lived more than a year. The median survival was over 12 months. And then we have the Tribute trial, which of course for the never smokers, where again, median survival was more than doubled in the group that got erlotinib. So I think that's a pretty powerful suggestion that this is not just due to the fact that these are a favorable prognostic group, but also predict benefit from the drug. The data we have from the FAM series shows that there's a fairly continuous graph relationship between pack years smoked and likelihood of having an EGFR mutation, but that after 15 pack years, there appears to be a fairly significant drop-off in the likelihood of an EGFR mutation. We're now doing the same plot for KRAS, and obviously we expect to see something that crosses in the other direction, that the incidence of KRAS mutation goes up substantially after the 15-pack-year smoking history.
So from a practical perspective, what kind of smoking history would cause you to treat a patient like a non-smoker?
The 15-pack-year cutoff is a very reasonable surrogate clinically, and a lot of these patients don't have tissue. You need to be driven by the clinical variables.
Is that 15-pack-year still smoking, 15-pack-year having quit for a number of years? Does that matter at all, or we don't know that?
In this paper, it was suggested that time away from smoking was also important, but that's, of course, a little bit hard to tease out from pack years. And most of the patients we see now aren't active smokers. So I would say non-active year or more from smoking.
Roy, what about a PBS2 patient with a mutation?
Well, it just relates to everything we're discussing here. I think that selection and personalization of lung cancer is really the only way we're going to truly make a difference. And if someone leaves MD Anderson, who's a never smoker, who doesn't either go on a protocol or get erlotinib either alone or in combination with chemotherapy, we've probably failed because we have to try to enhance the results on a patient. And the comment here with PS2, we do improve their survival somewhat with chemotherapy, but the group that one could really help, and I've seen it a few times in my practice just recently, and I'm sure everyone has, if you get a PS2 patient who's PS2 because of their disease, and they happen to have an EGFR mutation or some other reason why they would better respond to that agent, these are patients who come off the oxygen, who start to walk easier. And that speaks to what we can really start to do in lung cancer. There are going to be other agents besides erlotinib that would work in other mutations and in other areas. So this is an opportunity where selected PS2 patients are going to do very well with biologic therapy. In the unselected population, I wasn't surprised by Ruggiero's result. I don't think anyone here was. It's unselected PS2 is the same as unselected PS1 or 0.
Jack?
I would make a couple of points that I strongly believe that the never smoker population is really an important group to break out, that the 10% translating to 150,000 cases is probably conservative, that on the West Coast, I'm seeing 25-30% of my patients as never smokers. The other point I'd make is about mucinous BAC, and I think that is something that we need to break out a little more in our BAC trials, that these patients are very likely to have RAS mutations, and they've done horribly in our trials, and pooling them may be the equivalent of pooling the mutations as the same when they may have very, very different behaviors.
Rogerio?
Until we can sort out the issue of the biomarkers in a more understandable model, I think, is smoking status for the practicing clinicians perhaps either equal to the biomarkers or sufficient to select patients? Is that what I hear from Mark and Vince, maybe, or others?
You're going to miss people, correct, Tom, if you only used smoking status?
I think right now the burden is on the people looking at biomarkers to prove that it's better than smoking status. I mean, smoking status is a pretty good selection device. I think we'll learn much more from Vincent Posse's trial. But, Ruggiero, I don't think that's a terrible first approximation until we prove that we have something that's better.
But my point, forgive me if I didn't make it clear enough, is that the people that are never smokers are the ones we have to focus our effort on. Clearly, there are folks that have smoked some that may have some benefit, and that's a separate question. But when we have these people that are never smokers, those are the ones we should use all the modalities we have, and those people should get these drugs, and they should get them up front.